So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We just had a very nice festival behind us, and I believe we all, each one in his own way, has certain impressions and certain, hopefully, inspirations. Now it's time to do something which not all of us are accustomed to do. It's time to reflect about the new inspirations and intuitions. It's time to pause and say and look back. Throw our eyes a little back, like this, a backward glance, and then see what happened really. Was there something which touched me? Usually when you react to something in a little bit, let me say, emotional way, or you are struck by it, it comes to you, it means it has something to do with you right now where you are in your journey. Even if something disturbed you, find that something reached to your heart. Think about it. A life which is not reflected is not worth living, because it is like eating without digesting. If you eat and never stop to digest it, you will be ill. You will be diseased in the end. A life without reflecting is like eating without digesting it. The experiences which you make do not really give you strength. It really doesn't help you to move forward. I would like to offer a very nice thing which I hope to be able to do, is you can sit with a good friend and talk with him or her, your Mataji, about these things. It really helps to discuss with someone who's close to you, then you can digest what happened. I think our modern times, we live too fast. We don't take time to digest, and we develop a mental constipation. We don't move forward. Mentale Verstopfung. It's very important to do this. When I lived in Golokadan for many years, I would always go in the forest. I know many good paths in the forest, because I would mostly do my reflecting in the forest. And I would sit for long hours under trees. Not every day, it happened once a month. I would take a book of interest with me. I usually had my songbook with me and sang to Krishna, and then reflected. This is a very good practice, and I would like to recommend this to you. I want to now discuss something with you, and then after saying all this, typical subject for reflection I want to discuss, and then I would be happy if we can have a little bit more lively dialogue. If you can see if you have any questions which you would like to address, or just anything, so that we discuss. I think when we meet in a more intimate circle, in a more personal circle like this, the thing is that I do not have to be, you know, like the lecturer who presents complex subjects as good as he can, but I can be Satchinandan Swami, the person who discusses about things of interest for the community. Before I start, though, I would love to have my ginkgo tea.
I can see.
Oh, that's not good. Thank God. Well, it's all right. It's all right. It's here. Good. Fine. So, it's all right. No discussion, please, about teas. It's about soda. Once when I was coming to Belgrade, the devotees asked me, can you talk about the important stations in spiritual life? There will be a few very, very intellectual people in your discussion, so prepare well. And I welcomed the opportunity to think deeply about what, as we go through life, is the normal, is a journey which we can expect. Now, usually in our Rupa Goswami has described the spiritual journey as having 8 stations, from Shraddha to Prema. But those who requested me to speak said, can you talk about something more personal? Well, because I have not yet gone to Bhava or Ashakti and what to speak of Prema and the 8 levels which follow after Prema, I thought I can't talk about this. I have to speak about something what I have experienced, because that's what they were asking for. And I went very deep, and presented something which I would like to present to you today. Our spiritual journey, in most cases, starts when we feel our life is too narrow and we can't really and we feel helpless to change anything. We may even feel a little frustrated with our material endeavors. So at that time we look for something which leads us away from this sharp pain. This is for most of the souls what happens before they even consider the spiritual life, the spiritual path. How do the divide divine bald feel so eng? This is from Parsifala. What appeared to others as wide and broad and full of opportunity had become too narrow. Wolfram von Eschenbach, maybe you remember from your previous reading. Die Weite ward ihm ach gar zu eng. I think this is how this is. So in our way of expressing it, there always has to be some disenchantment with material life. It must be there. Someone who has not yet been disenchanted with material life will find it difficult to be on the path. He will maybe only join the movement because he likes the people there, but after some time he will meet someone whom he does not like, for sure, and then where's the motivation to continue? You can't make spiritual platform with the motivation from the social platform. So then, when you are solidly, when you are frustrated in your in the material life, you pray for help. This is then the second step. Let us say, either a great devotee comes, I'm speaking now in Krishna conscious terms, a spiritual master, a mentor, a good friend, and he says, have you considered this? And gives us some new understanding which will help us. So, this is the second step, meeting the spiritual master, meeting the mentor. And what is the third step is, which is necessary, after you met a person who seems to you sent by God, sent by Krishna, then he will give you something, a mantra, a knowledge, a process. I once studied something, it says, an instrument of force, something which perhaps which brings a new strength into your life, a new inspiration, which is something you can do, something you can think, sometimes something which you do in relationship to God or to others. So then, after you have gone to this stage, then what Rupa Goswami describes is things begin to change in your life. He speaks of anatta nivritti. You get free of old habits. Very often you lose your old friends. the people you used to associate with. It's like a lemon into milk, I think. My cook is here. Malati?
Paneer.
What? Malati mala. When you put lemon into milk, then paneer develops. Zip. And molke, what do you say in English? Whey comes. So when you apply what you have heard, then something happens in your life. It is sometimes scary. Today I talked with a very old friend of mine. I know him since 40 years. He's a wonderful devotee. Many of you earn your money because of his kind arrangements. And he said, Maharaj, I have noted in previous times I used to organize my own life. I said, really? He said, we can talk about this later, but let me first make my point. And now I trust if I chant that the holy name moves me forward. And then I said, what did you want to say? And I said, see, isn't it that the real big things in our life did not happen because of us? They happened to us. We didn't make them happen. They happened to us. Coming to Krishna consciousness for most of you was Krishna's arrangement. Meeting your husband or wife or the one who you divorced later, that was not what you did on your own. It happened to you. I'm speaking in modern language. The big things in life happen to us, and if you take shelter in Krishna, the big things in life happen to you the Krishna way. Maybe everything which happens is Krishna's arrangement if you don't want to accept that there's Maya. He said, I don't want to be in the illusion of arranging my life and planning my life. I have enough of this. I have an illusion. I want to surrender to the Lord now and let Him do what I want to consciously acknowledge His doership and surrender my illusory to Hashem. And this is what the devotee said to me. And I said, well, wonderful. I'm feeling the same as you. So when you let the spiritual process of what the guru or the mentor gives you, if you apply it and let it work on you, something will happen, just like the milk will curdle when you put lemon in there. Then usually, so where are we? First is we feel the narrowness of our material life. Then we meet a personality who gives us a new way of life and a spiritual process. And then our life turns upside down. It changes. And then usually comes the biggest test. We are tested. Do you want to go the new way? The most spiritual way? The way which brings you out of your narrowness? Or do you want to do what most of our devotees do? After they have tried to move forward, they feel, ooh, my life is so different. I'm not a normal person any longer. Let me quickly become normal again. Because they are habituated to one type of life. And then they establish their own material life under the guise of spiritual life. That is about 75% of our devotees do this. It's a normal human reaction. But they will soon become frustrated in that life again, and then they take in all seriousness again to the spiritual process, and they move forward again. But this is a test. It has to come to everyone. How serious are you in reaching the goal of the spiritual life? Or is it too adventurous for you? Is it too insecure for you? Is it too out of the box for you? Then you will go back again and try to put a little material life in your spiritual life. But most probably, if you are serious, you will see, that doesn't work so well. You see it especially when you are confronted with the temporality of your material existence. In the face of death, whatever is material cannot stand. Only the spiritual things can stand. So then, after you have passed your big test, or not passed your big test, that is, then you usually make the fruit and get the fruit of spiritual realization. A very good example of these stages is Dhruva Maharaj. You remember, Dhruva Maharaj was a prince, but his father did not appreciate him very much. By birthright, he would have been the next king, but his father married a second time, and the second wife bore him a child, and because he was more attracted to the second wife, he had to give prominence to this second child, and Dhruva was pushed on the second place. He was not to become the next king. In fact, he was the slave of the next, of the queen, the second queen, and the next king. So Dhruva could understand that this life was not his life, was not the life he was meant to live. So he left his comfort zone. He informed his mother informed him that only God could help him. Dhruva asked, where can I meet him? His mother said, just a little bit like mothers sometimes say an answer to their children, but they never think the children will follow up on the answer. She said, saints go into the forest to find him. Dhruva decided to go to the forest and meet God. It's almost as if little Padma would say, I want to meet God, I go to the forest. His mother was so worried. Everyone was so worried, but he was determined and he went. But what could Dhruva do alone? He only saw these wild animals all the time. He was sometimes very hungry because he didn't find eatable roots. He lived in the wilderness and he became very desperate. I have not yet met the Lord. At that time, the Lord sent him the wise mentor, the Svarta master, Narada Muni. And after Narada Muni tested Dhruva's determination, he accepted him as his disciple and gave him an instrument of force, if you so want, and something which would do the next thing in his spiritual life. He gave him this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he gave him the deity of the mantra. He explained to him about worship of the Lord Vasudev. Narayan and Dhruva did regular puja, and he did this very, very determined. There was nothing else to do. There was no apartment to take care of. He was in the forest. There was no work. There was no WhatsApp in the mobile phone. There was only Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and Lord Vasudev in the process of worshipping him. And in and he applied what is what Lord Kapila talks about in the third canto, some yoga to still the mind. He applied the mystical yoga process, which is aimed of stilling the vrittis, that is the waves in the mind, so that he became totally one-pointed. When we chant, we don't practice yoga, but we try to be attentive, because then everything works very fast. So he did this by a yoga process, breathing and raising the energy, and so on. After a short time, he developed mystical abilities. He didn't breathe any longer. From his head, a flame of power arose and scorched the world. And he participated in the total of energy. He just left his own limitations, which as a human being we all have, and expanded into the powers of the universe. And then the Lord of the mantra appeared to him in person. He came riding on Garuda. It must have been wonderful. And when Dhruva Maharaj, who had become a meditating yoga, opened his eyes, and he saw the Lord before him, he was overwhelmed. He wanted to speak something, say some prayers, but he was so overcome with ecstasy that he could not say anything. The Lord knew, my devotee wants to offer prayers, but he is so overwhelmed. And he took his conch shell and touched the head of not enough air, isn't it? No.
It is a bit too
hard. Yeah, hard, yes. I also feel...
Can you open again?
Yeah, I have open. To keep it open.
Yeah, we can have to keep it... I
it's
also
a bit
feel.
Loud, but anyway...
No problem.
It's okay.
I see all of you are fighting with death. We can even lower the heat, because we all have a lot of heat. It's already down. Yes.
Now the room is warm.
Yeah. And I like she has a Vata type, huh? The Vata like warm. I also like warm. So let me just finish this Lord Vishnu saw my devotee needs to be empowered, and he took his conch shell, placed it on the head of Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj's senses, spiritual senses, were awakened, and he began to praise Lord Vishnu. It's a wonderful, wonderful section of the Bhagavatam. Please read. It is so nice. It describes how all his senses were enlivened by the touch of the Lord on the head. Yes, as we all know the story, he came back to the kingdom. He became the next king, but his big test also came. It was a test with his anger. Could he control his anger? The situation is very simple. His brother-in-law was killed. Now there was peace between the brothers and between the queen. When Dhruva returned, he was acknowledged by his father as a very powerful living entity, and he was made the new king. His brother, though, was one day hunting, and he was killed by a lion. No, by a yaksha. Yaksha is mystical being, as you find still in Tibet, these beings. It's not a yeti, a yaksha. Then Dhruva became so angry that his family had been attacked by a yaksha that he decided that the anger came so high in his consciousness, it rose and took away all his intelligence. This is what happens when we get angry. He began an outrageous war against all the yakshas. He decimated their forces. He with a small army, uprooted all the yakshasas. It was a very, 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 let me say, messy fight, because he cut away their arms, he cut away their legs. He was really cruel. He was very, very, very angry. Put in illusion. Then the saints appeared to him and said, Dhruva, you have not passed your test. You have not integrated your spiritual wisdom in your life. You have become again like a materialist, angry, 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 angry when you were attacked. Now you need to calm down your anger. Dhruva understood this and immediately stopped. He went back. He ruled the planet as a just king, and at the end of his life he went to the planet Dhruvaloka, where he was near to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who also is on that planet. This is a little bit the journey. Where are you on this journey? I think you have left your old life behind. You have met a spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and also other spiritual masters. Here in Goloka Dham, we have a multi-spiritual or multi-Gaudiya assembly who that is very, very nice to see, who live in very nice harmony together. This is a sign of maturity, and very nice. Now you practice, and you see something happens in your life. But have you passed your test? We could say, is there one test? Two tests? Three tests? There are always tests as long as we are not fully Krishna conscious. It's us who create the tests. It's us who create attachments which are miserable for us and from which we have to detach eventually. I would like to alert you. In this new year, it starts according to the calendar year. Now you have a second chance on Gaur Purnima, when according to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the new year starts. See what you could do to pass to the next stage, which you are at the moment not aware of. I want to tell you something personal. There are 2 days in my life when I can absolutely not do anything. It's as if I'm helpless. I can't move forward. It's yesterday and tomorrow. I can't do anything about yesterday, and I cannot do anything about tomorrow. It disturbs me very much. Because I'm from Germany, I want to control everything. But I only have today. Always today. I only have, to be even more precise, the particular moment in which I am. What happened yesterday, even what happened an hour ago, is gone. I have no... Well, if I made a big mistake, I can write a letter and excuse myself. A little something. But what was done, was done. What was thought, was thought. What was spoken, was spoken. And about tomorrow, I don't know. I'm planning to be in to go to a very important birthday in our Grenzlin or Neuruppin community, where we will talk about amazing projects for the future. But I don't know if I will come there, nor do I know if I'm awake and can contribute something nicely. Maybe I'm like many of you, tired and exhausted, and hope everything is soon over. You know, I can't guarantee anything. What I can guarantee, I'm sitting on this chair at the moment. You are here at the moment, and I can try to share something which is alive and which can serve you. But about tomorrow and yesterday, nothing can be done. Nothing. Maybe this helps you a little bit. Maybe you are a magician and can do something about yesterday and tomorrow. But if you are, then still I would recommend you be with the times which are with you. Be present in the times which are with you, and then you can really move ahead. We often think, in the future I will do more Krishna consciousness. Oh, how nice the past was. There we had our friends and went on Sankirtan. The life was easy. Everyone, you know, and so on and so forth. But that is not helpful for us. What is helpful is to understand I'm living now. Krishna has given me the time. He's given me those devotees who are around with me, and I can now apply the wisdom of Dhruva Maharaj. I can act with all my determination in the moment to make that the best moment of my life in Krishna consciousness, and then I will change my life by this simple a simple advice. Don't waste your time with the past, and don't waste it with the future. You have no influence on it. Focus and know you are now on your spiritual journey, and on whatever state you are, usually for our type of devotees, including me, there are some things which we know we should do, but which we pretend to not know. Have to be a little honest with Krishna. Good, this is what I wish to say. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Do you know Bhuta Bhavana? Bhuta Bhavana is my friend. He's in the core team of the Vedic Way with Bhakti Gamya. This is Bhakti Gamya, his talented wife. Hare Krishna. Yeah, my dear devotees, do you have anything you wish to say? Do you allow me to drink some of my tea? Let us see if you have any questions, I think. Muniraj, I know your name. I don't know. I always imagine new names. It's something that's wrong with me.
Comes up.
Yes, Muniraj. Yes.
Thank you very much for this good points. You said one thing about that you spoke to somebody, and then he said, like, as much as you accept that you are in Maya or not, or as much as you accept that Maya is true or reality for you or not, so. I just want to ask, how much could that maybe become a misconception in terms of whatever I do is connected to Krishna?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, or whether, you know, I am really on the platform of that Krishna is always playing out his lila in my life, or whether it is maybe still my Maya and I just justify it.
Mm-hmm,
so that
mm-hmm.
it is, you know, I mean. Well, I want to have it as Krishna's divine arrangement in my life, but actually it's not. So how much is the...
Yes.
You know, how much is it?
Is it Krishna or is it Maya?
Yeah.
Acting?
And how can I myself...
Yeah. I think one very, very, very necessary skill which all of us have to learn is to be honest with Krishna and honest with ourselves and frank. Prabhupada says, for Krishna consciousness you only have to be frank and honest. There is this one, I think it comes in the fourth canto where he writes this purport. And I must say, I know this difficulty in my mind. I tend to twist reality so that it suits my plans. It's a typical thing which happens with people who are imaginative, who are philosophical. They know a lot perspectives and they can put it, and it helps me very much to talk honestly with devotees who then say, well, who give me a serious, honest input. I think this is one of the greatest treasures in my life, such devotee friends or friends. I have sometimes in a country like Germany, where I'm supposed to be an older devotee, not so many devotees will tell me and give me a feedback. They always say, you try your best, we can see this and things like this. But I have a few friends here. They practice spiritual life also, and they are, you know, I consider them to be very serious in their life. And I'm talking with them, and they give me sometimes amazing feedbacks. because some things we just can't see. Your translation is very nice, Malati Manjari. No, really, I'm becoming. It's much better than what I mean. No, you say what I say, but it's much better words which you use. I must think about Dhritarashtra here, a very, very, let me say, powerful individual. Who was partial to his own sons. We all know the story. And we know that his eldest son, Duryodhana, was really destroying the whole dynasty with his, let me say, outrageous political maneuvers against the Pandavas. And everyone told Dhritarashtra, your son Duryodhana maneuvers us slowly into a war which will be a war in our own house. That means we will go against each other. And and this is the last thing which we can do. The powerful Kuru dynasty, which rules the world, will make war against each other, and then chaos will break out in the world. And Dhritarashtra could see this, but he did not want. He could see it sometimes. Then, after they had exiled the Pandavas for altogether 13 years, a messenger came from the Pandavas. Give us, please, now, after we have been in exile and we have fulfilled all the condition, the rightful share which you have promised us, Dhritarashtra. Indeed, the messenger was received in the court of Dhritarashtra, and Duryodhana was also there, and he said, the Pandavas don't deserve anything. This was very unfair. Everyone could see it. So the messenger went back, and then another message came back. You will meet us on the battlefield. And then spies found out the Pandavas have assembled a huge army. They needed to discuss about this message, the Dhritarashtra and his people. And the evening before the big meeting, which would decide if there would be a planetary war, really, Dhritarashtra was crying, and he said to Vidura, Vidura, please help me. I can see that the Pandavas are just. I can understand that we do not stand a chance against them, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is on their side. I can see all this. But still my emotions, they drive me to favor my son Duryodhana. So then Vidura knew that he had tried many times to convince Dhritarashtra, and he was not successful. So what he did is, he sat down, he was a saintly person as well, and he invoked the presence of a very, very divine saint who manifested. It was in the night, before Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra said, please help me. My mind is confused. I know it's up to me to avoid this war amongst our family, the Kuru dynasty. But my intelligence tells me one thing, but my feelings another thing. Help me, please. And the saint, I forgot his name. think his name started with S, but I'm not 100% sure. He said, the first point he made is, Dhritarashtra, you need to see that whatever you win in this world with your arrangements, you will lose with death. This is the first thing. Simon, du bist, oder Munishvara Hari, ihr könnt ihr wieder. This, and you need to decide in your life for what is eternally on your benefit, not for just what is now your benefit. And then he gave very beautiful arguments. He said, connect with the super soul and ask the super soul what you should do. He really gave arguments how to make a good decision in a troubled time, to see what is Krishna's will and what is Maya. No? No. And Dhritarashtra heard it. And like always, when he was confronted with the truth, his mind went, yes, I go the path of the truth. He was still sure when he went into the assembly hall. But then he saw his son Duryodhana. And he said, I like him so much, let him decide what has to be done. And Duryodhana said, the Pandavas stand no chance against us in the war. Their cause is unjust, they are undamit, we are damit. Let them come to war, these mosquitoes, and we will crush them under our feet. So Dhritarashtra believed that and did this. So alone it's sometimes very difficult to make the right decision. And I can only say, try to be honest as much as you can say what is going on. Be frank with Krishna, and then you sometimes may need some good friends to talk with. I have seen that. That's why we always hear Sadhu Sangha is so important. We always hear it. I think it is Maya can attack us alone, but Maya cannot attack the Sangha so easily. I think that's the reason. Maya is a fighter who is alone. But when she comes to the Sadhu Sangha, to the Sadhus, she will sit and listen to the words of truth. Have to listen. Krishna, but even then, when nothing works, my dear devotees, I know one devotee in Vrindavan who's always tested, and this devotee has stayed in cold and in heat and in disease and in health in Vrindavan. And I asked the devotee once, what is your secret? And the devotee said, my secret is not a secret, it's very simple. When I don't know any longer, I sit before my deities and I just pray to them, take care of my life. This is what I have noted when I was in Goloka Dham. There were often moments where I didn't know and so on. Then I went to Radha Madan Mohan, sat before Radha Madan Mohan, and I said, I'm not moving before I have the answer. And it usually came after some time. I also had my own deities, Radha Kunya Vihari. Sometimes I did not go before the deities, Radha Madan Mohan. But they are one, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Kunya Vihari, one Lord. So I went to them because I didn't want that the devotees see that I'm wrestling again with a difficult subject. Krishna. Prabhupada, once there was a devotee who felt, who was very much in Maya. I mean, that is so, I know it is not a modern way and no one likes me to speak like this. So, who felt challenged by the complexities of life, and Prabhupada was asked, what should he do? The devotee asked him, what should I do? And Srila Prabhupada gave this answer. He said, go please before the deities and chant, and they will certainly solve your questions. It's what the devotee in Vrindavan also told, and what many devotees have experienced. Just go before God. Stevie Wonder had a very nice song. When times are getting, he sings so nice, when times are getting something, then go and have a talk with God. Go and have a talk with God. He was singing in his own soul-filled voice. Mm-hmm. Have a talk with God. Really nice. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Narayani. Namastute. Narayani. Namastute. You can maybe think Gaura Hari as a... Du hast auch.
Ich habe die auch schon mal vor ganz langer Zeit gestellt, aber ich stelle sie jetzt nochmal.
Wirklich?
Dann weiß man, oder spürt man, dass man wirklich was verstanden hat oder verwirklicht hat.
Wann weiß man das?
Ja, also damals hast du gesagt, wenn man es nie wieder tut, so und ja, und dann das Leben, das geht ja immer so auf und ab, und dann denkt man, jetzt bin ich wieder voll drin im irdischen Leben, und dann. Also es geht dann eine Zeit lang gut, und dann merkt man, dass der schon irgendwie alles immer doch ein Kampf bleibt und schwierig ist. Und wenn man die besten Vorsätze hat und Wünsche und ja, aber so ein bisschen vielleicht eine kleine Verwirklichung ist da, aber woran merkt man, dass es so was Echtes ist, eine richtige Erkenntnis oder so?
Wunderbar, wunderbar, Narayan. So toll von dir zu hören. Ja, klasse. Also du wirklich einen Punkt. Darf ich das übersetzen ins Englische? Narayani was asking a very important question, I think. Her question was, how do you know that you have really understood and realized something? And then she said, an experience which I believe many of us have, life seems to be, even when you have apparently understood something, it's still an up and down. It's still life happens to you. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. I think that's a very good definition of life. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. This sentence brings out the truth. We are not in control. Narayani said when she asked me this the first time, I said, and then I was young and enthusiastic, and this was my realization, you know that you have understood something at the moment where you don't do a mistake again. You're strong enough to say, no. I feel I would like to add something to this answer. Now, it must have been 15 years ago. No, I'm asking, 10 more, 20 years ago. Narayani, since you asked me, and I'm not on the Vyasasan at the moment, I want to give more, and I don't want to quote now verses, although maybe I should. There are definitely states and descriptions of states in spiritual life which describe the state of realization. In Sanskrit it's called apana. It comes after sadhana, dasa. Dasa is a stage, and the stage of practice brings you to the state of achievement. But, Narayani, you will be surprised. In Madhurya, I will give first a Shastric answer. How can I not give a Shastric answer? In Madhurya Kadamani, it says, up to the stage of Bhava, very high state of Krishna consciousness, you are still affected by the effects of old aparadhas, which you have made, old offenses. Which you have made. So having taken, let us, it's always nice to see how does the Lord or the scriptures answer questions. But now I would like to give my personal answer. I have seen so many things, Narayani, in my life, with my God brothers, with exalted saints, whom I know in Vrindavan, with my own thinking, that I have stopped to see in this perspective. What I am doing nowadays with my life, because I can not influence others and therefore I don't want to judge them, but what I can do with my life, I can give it in the hands of Krishna, and I can say, my Lord, I can only try my best, please protect me, please do the rest. I think we in Western Europe or Northern Europe, or we Western people, we have a certain state of we have a certain understanding of perfection. It goes, and we think there should be mind control, there should be sense control, but that is not really the bhakti view. That's the jnana view. It's an important view, and sense and mind control is important. But what is more important is to surrender to the Lord and to say, my Lord, please help me. And there is a very nice praman, a very nice song in this regard, which I like to sing again and again and again. By the way, Narayani, you are a good singer. You must get yourself a songbook and learn these things. That will help you very much. You will see that these devotional songs are really what the heart needs. 134, sofort. Ja. O Gopinath, Bhaktivinoda sings, my mind is completely mad. It does not accept any discipline. I can try for some time, but it really doesn't accept. And always remains ignorantly in the fearsome pit of sense gratification. Oh, Gopinath, I have finally accepted my defeat. Finally, I can't do it alone. All my careful endeavors have proven futile. Futile heißt umsonst, nichtig. Hat nichts geholfen. Now you are my only hope. Now you are my only hope. And what is my hope? Oh, my Lord, come into my heart and restrain my mind. Divert it towards you. Thus, you will end my terrible trouble. Oh, Gopinath, you have seen that I am without shelter. You are the master of the senses. So, you control my senses and deliver me from this dark and dangerous worldly existence. I have to say, because I'm talking to all of you, I have to do responsible work. Of course you need to, this doesn't, das enthebt dich nicht der Verantwortung, auch die Sinne zu kontrollieren. Wie sagt man in Englisch? This doesn't, you have to do as... you have to endeavor to control mind and senses. But I always feel when great devotees are tested, who am I? There are many famous stories how great devotees were. There was this great devotee, an Alva, who only picked every day Tulsi. I don't even want to tell you these painful stories, but you can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tiro Vammamalva. He was tempted by the Lord, and he was not tempted by the Lord. The Lord sent him a test which he could not pass, and he was diverted from the path. This can happen. Lord, any stage. So better we surrender to the Lord. And it feels so nice to be in the hand of the Lord. Maybe I did tell you, but before my grandmother died, my grandmother was, my grandfather was very spiritual. My grandmother followed him. The old German wife, you know. And before she organized the church, obviously. She was the church organizer. And before she died, I visited her the last time. It was 2 weeks before her death. And I asked her grandmother, how is it if you are dying? I'm sometimes afraid. And how is it? And she looked at me, because that's a strong question, you know. How is it to die? You know, usually everyone, no one talks about this to a dying person. And she said, you know, when I'm living, I'm in the left hand of God. When I'm dying, I'm in the right hand of God. What's the difference? And this is our process in Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with one essential teaching. He taught surrender, the sixfold paths of surrender. And he said, the Lord Sri Nanda Nandana Krishna will only listen to someone's prayer, to the prayer of someone who has surrendered to the Lord. Because what can you give up? You cannot give up. Nothing belongs to you anyways. What can you give up? You can only give up your sense of doership. I'm the doer. I'm arranging this. I'm in control. This you should give up. And then Krishna is very, very happy to take charge of your life. Then Mahaprabhu's teaching, sixfold path of surrender. I always recommend those who ask me how to make progress, I always say, read the Sharanagati prayers. Read them again and again and again until something goes into your heart and you can live by them. It's very, very powerful. Thank you for asking. Please ask me in 20 years again, Narayani. Nice to know a few people with whom you become happily old. 20 years? 30. Then I'm 83. I intend to live up to 150. No, I'm joking. I leave it up to Krishna, obviously. Would you like to know the date of your death? Yeah? Gaurav Bhavani, how do you think about this question?
Well, once I had asked an astrologer whether he could see how long my parents would be alive. And then he predicted some year, and then I was totally worried, and it didn't happen, of course. Then I thought it didn't really help.
Yeah.
And, it didn't create something that, yeah. I think we always have to be prepared anyway. Mm-hmm. Time, so, but it might limit my enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you're seriously ill, well, there are these two options: either you have an accident, and you get seriously ill, and you have this time when you can prepare. I think that is very helpful.
You would like to know?
Yeah, somehow it would kill the illusion of, well, I'm living forever.
Mm-hmm.
That illusion is also strong. Although theoretically, hearing it sometimes we're actually dying any moment, but still practically one for me, I live in a way can never happen. So if I would know like 5 years from now, and I probably would quite schedule my days up to the moment. Seriously.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm curious. I was asking too. I will not comment. I know a place where you can find out. And it really works. Yeah. Soll absolut zuverlässig sein. Hare Krishna. Yes?
It's about controlling minds and senses, and also you told that Germans want to control everything, not just Germans. How practice shows. In the first verse of Nectar of Instructions, Srila Prabhupada translates Vachivedam Manasastrasvedam, one who can tolerate urge of speech, of mind. So, tolerate, what is tolerate, and what is difference between tolerate and control, and will the problem to control be defeated if we fully surrender to the spiritual master, and in this case Krishna takes control on our life. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual master also, when he says, for example, personal instruction, make this, and you shouldn't control everything already, you had instruction. What is the difference between tolerate and control?
Mm-hmm, thank you. Mm. It is practically the same. If there, see, when there will be all this information which the senses are giving to the mind, someone who can control his mind will say, anyways, and tolerate that. Someone who cannot control the mind will not be able to tolerate these. Hunger or these impulses, and will act upon them rather quickly. No? So it is the same when you cannot tolerate something, you act out of control. It's like this. Now the help which we all wish is the higher taste of bhakti, where you will find bhakti more relishable and interesting than the temporary agitations of the body and mind. And this higher taste in bhakti will help us very much to control. Therefore, in this verse which you have quoted, someone who is able to tolerate and thus control his mind and senses is described to be capable of leading others and become a spiritual master. A spiritual master should have spiritual realizations in his heart. And then it is easier for him to give these realizations into the hearts of others. Hare Krishna.
I ask you to continue. In the morning lecture you said about parachute and Hare Krishna, like example. When we think to make something for Krishna, and at this time we can offer him, for example, parachute or pizza or pasta, and it isn't prescribed in Shastras, but it could be made with love, and it Krishna accepts everything that's made with love. What is better, to connect everything that all our attachments to Krishna, or maybe to try to make prescribed things.
There are basically two ways to practice Krishna consciousness. One is where you dedicate everything to Krishna, and the other is where you renounce. And both paths are there for different levels of advancement. I very much liked when I had this discussion with Gaurahari the other day, and we remembered how wonderful it is to, for devotees to live in a temple and then do things the way the tradition is recommending it. For instance, what we cook for the deities is done according to different recipes, and so on. We feel that this was introduced to us, these recipes, by our spiritual master, so we keep by them. We do not offer these super modern foodstuffs, you know, super modern combinations. When we are with the deities, we are just accepting this discipline in our life. I really feel so much blessed in my life because I have done, I have lived in the temple, I have also traveled on Sankirtan, and this was a life of a lot of discipline. I wouldn't be where I am now without this training. I think the modern devotees, or devotees who join our movement now, they sometimes don't have this training, and they suffer because of this. I was talking recently with Naveen Krishna, the head of the Pandava Senas. There are many Pandava Senas coming, university students, most of them marry eventually. And after, I think this program is more than 30 years old or so, 30 years, it started with the Mena, isn't it?
Mena, yeah.
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 How much?
Maybe 25.
Maybe 25 years. He said something very interesting. See, the Pandava Senas are mostly congregational devotees. That is, they don't have that strict program. They follow the path of dedication. Whatever they like to do, they offer it to Krishna. But they don't follow this path of the discipline in the temple, where we have a certain structure. And we have worked with this group since quite a time. We have also, this group has also a mentorship program. Mentorship means each devotee has someone he can talk to, where he can get help in his problems and see a good perspective in his life. You know, it's like a senior devotee who counsels them. And Naveen Krishna, who is really intelligent Vaishnava and very nice Vaishnava, said, we always discuss how should this program develop. And he said, Maharaj, I have observed, and I've thought very deeply, if we all always encourage the devotees to have their ways, to have all the help, and never ask them to surrender, they don't come out very nice. Instead, it is good now to tell them not how the movement can serve them, but how they can serve the movement. Going out on Sankirtan, singing in the streets of London, doing various services where they need to surrender. That is, they become more happy in the end. And I know in our little ashram, we have sometimes young devotees there, and we have also seen, if they only do what they wish to do, and so on, then they come in the mode of passion. It is sometimes important to say, no, you must get up very early, you must surrender, you must do blah, 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 blah. Then they become more happy. I have seen this in my life. I've seen this in my life also. If my life is under the, I should not give the, because I have to be very strict with myself always. But I see, when you challenge yourself and not only go the path of dedication, you are more happy, you are more pure, you are more purified in your heart. It is good for you. That little austerity is required to remove you from the illusion. This is a service where we can surrender. Is so nice. So good for us. And we need to give these opportunities to our devotees, otherwise they will not develop so nicely. I have seen this, really. Mm-hmm. Good. So, Mataji, I know you might most probably have millions of more questions, but we should also give others opportunity. Yes. Hare Krishna. Ananga Manjari. Nice to see you.
I was just now practically thinking of this discussion, this question. Of course, traditionally, if we would only eat what is Vedic and traditional, devotees would eat this, what is actually offered to Krishna, with ghee and so many things. Many of them also we saw in past got very sick because our bodies are also a little different than this. Some traditional way.
Yes, eat healthy food, Ananga Manjari. Of course, of course, of course.
But actually, I wanted something else. You were speaking in the beginning of digestion, and I'm very happy that you mentioned this because I was thinking actually how, when we are not digesting, how unhealthy we can become. And sometimes it's coming to me a little bit like in spiritual life, we are trying to. We are getting so many knowledge, we have so many information, so many books, so many ways to get the mind occupied. But very often then in some provoking situations, we are reacting very differently than we are supposed to do, like our Shastra is saying. So I was thinking about this very long time and... for me, for myself, I realized this is because not time to digest, to think about very deeply what, like when we are chanting, sitting and chanting, and it's very obvious we will concentrate or when we are in temple doing something, but in daily life, also to think about this spiritual knowledge, for myself, it's making very much help when I'm even just one shloka, taking for 1 week and just thinking what this really means for me, how
wonderful.
I can really connect to myself and to my life, to normal. Normal in the way when I'm not in the somewhere in meditation or something and just in some duty or whatever. So I'm very thankful that you spoke about this.
Your life is not normal. You are extraordinary from the perspective of, you know, you live a very spiritual life. You know, if you would tell your mother how you live, she would say, you're not normal. You know, no, don't. I understand what you say. Yeah, I think this reflecting life means also, what can I really do? And even further, Ananga Manjari, what nourishes me? What is the activity that nourishes me and inspires me? And it may not be the whole catalogue of the to-do list from the Shastra. It may be just one point. I like to read the Bhagavatam. I like to do service in the temple with flowers. You know, or whatever. What nourishes me? What deeply satisfies me? And sometimes, I think some devotees have not yet an answer to this question. And that means they have not deeply reflected. I came from Vrindavana, Nanga Madhuri, and I was so full of taste in you know, Vrindavan life. It was almost, I think, almost 2 months I'm now in Vrindavan. And I came back to the West, and I was so much missing Vrindavan, and I had to ask now the question, what can nourish me so that I don't suffer so much from the lack of Vrindavan and what it means for. And I found something wonderful, and I do it every day. But it took me 2 weeks to find that. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, tomorrow I was thinking to go up till 8 o'clock. We have 5 more minutes if you wish, but tomorrow we will leave quite early, hopefully. Let's see. I think it is good time to stop here, no? But you are never normal in that sense, you know. Your life is different than you when you wear a brahmacharini, but your life is very spiritual and wonderful. No problem. See your children, they're so interested in Krishna consciousness, such saintly Vaishnavas. That is not normal, this is extraordinary. Krishna. So thank you very, very much. It was really nice to be here in this little room. I heard it is a large room. It is quite large, isn't it? Relatively large. With a candle even, 2 candles, 3, oh my God. Everything is there. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And maybe you remember, if you forget, there are 2 times in your life, in everyone's life, where they can't really do anything. Yesterday and tomorrow. We can do today. Be Krishna conscious. And I think sometimes we are making plans for the future, and then it never comes like that. So this will help us to make plans for now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.